Welcome. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and I'm pleased to present on Temple of Health Radio Show my guests, Dr. Pamela Wiebel, and also Frank Golly and Eva T. Crow. And we will be talking, before we get into our program, about a OnePath Summit meeting that's going to take place here in Atlanta, Georgia at the Cobb Galleria on March 26th and 27th. I think I'll begin by letting Frank and Eva talk a little bit about the OnePath Summit.
Well, we're really excited about the OnePath Summit. It was an inspiration to really create a conversation, an educational forum for the doctors and the public, and really the changes that are occurring in healthcare as the traditional doctors are integrating complementary treatments and therapies that are really making a difference. This gives the chance, the public, chance for the public really to experience it, talk to the doctors, and have a direct knowledge base.
And we have chosen Suzanne Summers to kind of be our keynote speaker because she is a lay person and also is a cancer survivor. She did some pretty good research, and she can could really translate for the people and really educate people about their choices. And so I think we're really excited about the group of folks that we put together.
Now, Pamela, you're going to be presenting as well. Do you want to talk about what you'll be presenting?
Yes, I'll be at the summit, and I'll be presenting essentially this new trend in America in which patients are actually designing their own clinics and hospitals. So we're breaking down the barriers and actually inviting patients to come in and design the very facilities that will care for them. So it's pretty exciting, and it's happening around the country in clinics, and there's two hospitals in Wisconsin now that are doing this.
Are they going to be able to design their own managed care plans as well?
I don't think nobody has requested that yet.
That might be a really good idea. And who else is going to be speaking at the summit?
Well, we have Xiaoming Chen, who is the integrative neurology specialist at St. Agnes Hospital. He's the chair of the American Association of Integrative Medicine. We've got Harry Delcher. He's an endocrinologist, and he actually has a integrative practice, and his partners or the other members of his practice are going to speak as well. Nicholas Gonzalez is a nutritional oncologist, and Mark Houston is a cardiologist and director of the Hypertension Institute of St. Thomas Hospital and associate clinical professor of medicine at Vanderbilt. Kimball Johnson, who is specialized in parental HIV and sports medicine, and is the president of the Midtown West Medical Center, and then also the medical director for the Jobry Center, which is using a Hippocrates-style format or model. Mitchell Krukoff, who's a cardiologist and professor of medicine at Duke University Medical Center. Neil Schulman is the associate professor in the Department of Medicine at Emory University. His book he wrote was the inspiration for Doc Hollywood and Patch Adams. And then, of course, Pamela is going to be there. So we're really excited about the group of doctors that have agreed to present from a wide range of backgrounds, but everybody is really making some phenomenal inroads, and they show some real success in their fields.
And you want to give the public the information they need, the contact information and the times?
That'd be awesome. The contact to register is it's One Path Summit, O-N-E-P-A-T-H, Summit, SUMMIT.com. And the event is it's March 26th and 27th in Atlanta at the Cobb Galleria.
Okay, and is there any other information you want to give about the summit? You've talked about the speakers. Is there anything else you want to add?
Well, the format is, it's fairly unique. Excuse me. The format is fairly unique in that we're doing lectures in the morning and then a public open forum in the afternoon so that the public really has the opportunity to ask questions, discuss, and interact with the speakers. So that they really do get a chance to have their voices heard and learn specific information. There will be exhibitors, so there will be people there who are making progress in providing services and things in the integrative and medical healthcare fields.
We are also going to be having, during lunchtime, we're going to be having about 15 or 20 tables, about 10 people per table, and different kinds of doctors and healthcare practitioners speaking about what they do and offering the opportunity for the people that are sitting on the table with them to ask questions, to get informed, to find out about what their choices are.
Great. Well, that sounds like the public and the participants will get to know each other and get opportunities to ask their own personal questions.
That's correct.
So
one of the goals for us is that this be something that an event that happens that will educate the people. It will share information, you know?
Yeah. Well, we're probably, Pam and I will be talking this hour about a marked paradigm shift in healthcare and what that means from her perspective, which is primarily medicine, and then my perspective, which is surgical, because the paradigm shift is affecting all of medicine, especially preventative medicine, which is what I think Suzanne Summers is concentrating on.
Correct.
And I think, you know, the shift is occurring across the, you know, across the board. Everyone, you know, needs to understand that this, you know, this shift is the way medicine will become. Healthcare will evolve, and this is really one of the early opportunities that we've experienced for people to begin to see and experience that shift, and with doctors who really do understand and are making the difference.
Well, basically, what we've been doing at Temple of Health, and I'm sure what Pam's been doing in her practice as well, and in her ability to go beyond her practice to educate patients, is letting patients know and letting people in general know that it is up to them to become responsible for their health to the degree which they can. In other words, their diet, exercise, lifestyle choices make a large difference in what manifests. Even with certain genetics, it is really the environment that causes the expression or non-expression of the genetics. So patients can take a large portion of that choices and educate themselves and make a big difference as to how their lives will unfold as far as their health goes.
Exactly.
So that's really what we're up against. And the breast implant thing is a good example. If you just blindly believe your doctor who says that, you know, this is a real simple operation and these implants last forever and you'll never have any problems, versus, you know, going on the internet and actually researching what other patients have experienced, I think it's a good idea to actually go on the internet and research what other people have experienced before you make certain, you know, or read books on the subject or whatever, before you decide to make a major change. Such as putting breast implants in your body. And that goes for, you know, many different other procedures, not just cosmetic procedures. You know, the choice of whether or not to have your gallbladder out versus to use a holistic medicine and functional medicine to dissolve the gallstones, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, the wealth of information and much of the information on the Internet, it being is subjective or, and you know, a personal response or a personal experience how do they know that that is, that's going to work for them? And so a lot of people are confused by that. And I think that's where the healthcare industry has the opportunity to be the door or the provider of information that really gives them choices. And with those choices, then people can make informed and intelligent decisions about whether they're going to do a holistic treatment or an alternative treatment or surgery.
Yeah, that's true. Pamela, what sort of advice would you have for the listeners in terms of what they can do to help take responsibility for their health?
I think being prepared for the visit and understanding exactly what their needs are. A lot of people come in and they are not completely, aware of the emotional and spiritual context with which their physical symptoms have evolved. So I think the more insight we have into, the fact that we are all more than just physical beings, and our diseases often manifest from emotional and spiritual sources, and people are more and more interested in why these things occur, and having just a little bit more introspection about their bodies and their health.
Yeah, I for years covered trauma at the emergency room, and I was a hand surgeon, amongst other things, facial injuries and hand surgery burns, that kind of thing. And there would always be spiritual reasons why people would injure individual fingers. And when I explained the different finger injuries to the patient and told them, what the meaning of that injury was, they were often amazed. And what I basically said is, it's very important for you to go ahead and work on that issue, because you can re-injure the finger if you don't, or it could not heal as well, because some of these injuries were very, very bad injuries. The finger was mangled, and so there was a good chance that there could be complications requiring more surgery, even amputation of the finger. And it was just amazing that just about everybody who had injured their finger in the 20 years I was in the ER that had the spiritual reason for that particular finger injury. And I had a opportunity to have dinner with the father of hand surgery. This is really literally the father of hand surgery. And I told him about the different meanings of the finger injuries. I said the thumb was will issues, the index finger is faith, the middle finger is self-love, self-image, the ring finger is money and material things, and the little finger is relationship and sex. And he kind of looked, he was in his 80s, he kind of looked up, and you could see everything going through his mind, and then he looks at me, he says, Susan, I think you're right. It was hilarious. You could see him going back to his previous patients. So there is spiritual meanings for a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. And that's really the root cause for so many ailments, and it's fantastic that your patients had the opportunity to gain that insight with you, because how many surgeons are actually providing spiritual resources like that?
Probably not too many, unless they themselves have had the opportunity to study the great masters, really. I mean, it's really the great masters that bring this information in. And a lot of people just simply aren't aware that information exists. But all injuries, I mean, even each part of the face, the injury means something different. And people who have really big ears are learning to listen, and people who have really recessed chins have too much... aggression, or too much push too hard. Whereas people with really prominent chins, like Jay Leno, have the opposite thing. They don't push enough. So each thing on the face reveals something about the spiritual lesson that the person brought in with them.
So do you find your patients are always uniformly receptive to this information you're providing?
Yeah, because I can determine if I should even tell them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't tell all of my patients this information, obviously. I mean, I hear that they wouldn't be able to handle it, so I don't tell some of them. But I'd say at least 80% of them are very interested. Yeah, you know, the old law of attraction. So the patients that I'm going to attract are going to be ready for this information in general.
Yeah, I definitely find I also attract patients who need exactly what I can provide.
But That's right.
And it's even more so in my own practice, as you probably find in your own practice, versus working more in the assembly line medical clinic scenario where you get kind of anyone who enters the door. And there's a generational issue as well. When I first started, I remember, I'll never forget this. This is like really the only time this has ever happened. Because I generally give people, as you do, probably a range of choices for treatment and interventions, and including lifestyle and diet and all of that. And so this, I'll never forget, this elderly woman came in. She must have been in her 70s or close to 80. She had a urinary tract infection, and I remember, you know, diagnosing it and then explaining all of her options, including, you know, just hydrating and cranberries and blueberries and all this stuff, and went through the various antibiotics, you know, if she wanted to go that route. And then I paused to allow her, you know, to let me know what she felt aligned with. And she looked up and she said, "What's wrong, honey? Don't you know what you're doing?" So I think, like, you know, we've evolved to the point where people actually, at least now, expect to be given choices. I think in the patriarchal model of medicine that we had, you know, 50 years ago or so, I think people would feel insecure if a doctor actually gave them choices.
Yeah, that's true. They want the one pill that's going to get them better, and they don't want a bunch of choices. Just like
a pat on the shoulder, and you'll be fine, honey.
Well, it's just like going into, you know, your grocery store. You've got, I mean, go into the go buy a box of cereal at the grocery store. You know, you can spend like 15 minutes just looking at all of them. You know, it's the same thing. But it's, I think, the younger generation anyway, maybe not so much the older generation, but the younger generation does want to be better educated in terms, especially with surgical procedures, you know, what's going to happen exactly, go through the whole thing, what the risk and complications are, the percentage of improvement. I got grilled yesterday on that. What percentage of improvement will this scar have, you know? And it's like, well, you know, it'll probably be about, you know, 80% better, but it could only be 50% better. You know, they're asking way more complicated questions, and we don't always have the answers. I mean, it's like we don't always carry our crystal ball with us, and especially if you do complicated procedures, outcomes aren't necessarily known. But, you know, you answer the questions the best you can.
And it's great that they're asking the questions. It keeps us on our toes, you know, academically stimulating to think about things like that.
Probably about three times every afternoon I go Google something to figure it out. I go, well, I'm going to go Google that. I'll be right back. And I usually print out exactly what they need to know, you know, because it's something that I know is probably on the Internet, but I want to get specific information. Like, for example, what they come in with some sort of having had vincristine chemotherapy, and they're coming in for a holistic treatment for that. Well, you know, I might not have it right off my head. I might know sort of what vincristine does and what, but I can go Google it, and I can probably find studies with different supplements and treatment methods that are holistic that have led to improvement in that neuropathy or whatever. So you don't have to know everything. You actually can excuse yourself and go Google something. And they're fine with it. You know, they know you don't know all of it. I mean, after all, I'm a plastic surgeon, so they give me a little slack on that. But it's an interesting time, mainly because I think the time we're going to be going into, we're going to find that self-healing can occur, vibrational self-healing can occur much more readily than it could in the past, maybe because we understand more and maybe because of where the planet is. But there are spontaneous remissions of things much more frequently now, as well as vibrational therapies that are bringing about changes that I'm real excited about, because although I love to operate and surgery is great, it's just wonderful to be able to treat with, you know, we treat a lot with laser light, which is coherent light with frequencies in it. Somebody's had a ankle pain since a car wreck or something. You do about 5-10 minutes of treatment and the pain's gone and it doesn't come back. So that kind of thing's very exciting for us, that there things are being taken care of that before we just tell the patient to live with the pain. We don't have to now. We've got other things we can do, mostly frequency medicine.
And I think patients are more receptive now and feel more empowered. And when you feel the power in your body that you can actually control your own destiny, I think you can have a lot more self-healing experiences.
Right, right. Well, I wanted to mention to our listening audience that Pam and I are in the Goddess Shift. I think there's 42 women authors here. The editor is Stephanie Moran, who I interviewed on, I think, at least 8 of her books. She's a medical writer that specializes in mental health and holistic treatments. She also had a natural health first aid kit, which was great, first aid remedy. But this book came out, I guess, at the end of 2009. Was that right?
I think it was last spring. I think it was
2010. Oh, it was the spring of 2010.
Right.
That's right. That's right. My other book came out then. And it has a number of different authors from a lot of different disciplines, finance, law, business, medicine, entertainment, sports. And some of the, I'll name some of the people here, Jane Fonda, Susanna Budapest. I believe Susanna was the last person arrested in California for practicing witchcraft. Is
yep,
that right?
Yeah, that's what she wrote about. It was a fun
it was
read.
For tarot cards.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, that was in the 70s,
uh-huh.
which was very interesting. Starhawk, Julie Garland, Madonna, Judy Chicago, Renee Fleming, Shirley MacLaine, Whoopi Goldberg, Angelina Jolie, Helen Mirren, Barbara Walters, Michelle Obama, Barbara Lee, Sue Monk Kidd, Jean Thompson. I'm not naming everybody. I'm just naming the ones I recognize.
And Michelle Obama.
And Michelle Obama.
Oprah Winfrey.
Oprah Winfrey, Olympia Dukakis, J.K. Rowling. I loved her chapter.
Right.
Her book was rejected about 50 times before it was accepted, and she talks about the power of persistence. Isn't that lovely?
Yeah.
Can you imagine those idiots that rejected it, what they think of themselves now? Oh, my. But anyway, so this is a book on women taking their power back, and it's personal stories and, I guess, advice and also more broad-ranged understanding of the Goddess Shift, or the shift where male and female power is coming more into alignment rather than being male-dominant like it was. So that book is available on Amazon or from either of our websites. Would you like to give your contact information, Pamela?
Oh, yeah, my website is idealmedicalcare.org. So, yeah, this book is available there, as well as I'll answer all emails, and anyone who has any questions about how they can actually, in their own town, create their ideal clinic or hospital, I'm very very accessible to help anyone who would like to do this and get involved with this new paradigm.
Great. And where are you practicing?
I'm in Eugene, Oregon.
Eugene, Oregon? Well, that's a lovely place, isn't
it? Oh,
it's
fantastic,
yeah.
It's really great.
So what is happening with health care in Oregon that you think is cutting edge? Because I believe that they are more advanced than, say, Arkansas or, you know, Kansas maybe. I don't know.
Well, I think at least, and especially in Eugene, people are, I think, more empowered and less passive. So they're more likely, you know, it's a more educated population, more even the people who are hippies living out in the woods, you know, they've got mm-hmm. PhDs, and, you know, they're more likely to be asking these difficult questions and to be thinking, you know, the thoughts of the new paradigm that's emerging. And I think when you look at the southeast part of the U.S., and Frank and I think, discussed this at one point, people are a little bit more passive, a little bit more stuck in that hierarchical model where okay. They sort of just accept what their doctor says without questioning as much.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what I've found from meeting people and living in the South myself. I went to medical school in Galveston, Texas. I felt like I went back 100 years. I felt like I was, it might as well have been the 1800s.
Yeah, well, I spent five years in San Antonio, Texas, and all I can say is Texas is literally a different country.
Uh-huh.
That's what it feels like. It feels like a different country.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's just not for everybody, but Texans love it. You know, it's great for the people that are supposed to be there. But I think I'd like Oregon. I think I would like the...
Yeah, it's a pretty progressive place. But it was good for me to live in these various places and try to reach people who have completely different backgrounds than myself. And
mm-hmm.
I think like, as a country, we're all more interested in having patient-centered care. You know, I think people who have never heard of it or have never experienced it don't see it as an option, but I think more and more people will start to feel the shift, you know?
Do you think it's possible to have patient-centered care if you're in network with managed care?
Well, I mean, it depends on the individual physician you're with and their philosophy. I think you're less likely maybe to meet physicians that are as progressive. I mean, there are physicians who have these very novel clinics where they don't accept insurance at all, and they really are mm-hmm. into the relationship-building aspect, they're not into the high-volume thing. So, I mean, of course, depending on which physician you pick or are assigned to, your experience will be quite different. But, you know, hey, I worked at, you know, these assembly line medical facilities, and, you know, I tried my best within that sort of time constraint and volume-oriented bottom line scenario to really be there for my patients. I burned myself out, but, you know, I skipped bathroom breaks and lunch, but my patients got more of my time than they would have mm-hmm. with somebody that was more into the numbers game. So,
yeah, Millennium Healthcare, we've had for years, over 10 years, we've had family practice and GYN. The GYN is out of network, but the family practice is in network for many things. So that's a plus. Dr. Gould is really very, very educated in terms of holistic medicine, supplements, herbs, and vibrational medicine. I think the thing that, like I said before, the thing that's so exciting is the new forms of medicine that are so much quicker and less risky and are available for, I mean, almost anybody. You don't have to, I don't know, they're just easier to implement than chemicals are. The problem with chemicals is that when you have too many drugs or even too many supplements, you start getting side effects and interactions that are virtually impossible to keep track of. So that's, you know, that's an issue that, and people don't want to take pills all day either.
Yeah, and I don't see as many, and maybe it's just my practice, but maybe you also don't experience this any longer, but do you remember in training or, you know, 10, 20 years ago when people would come in with huge bags full of medicines, like 20 different pills they were on, and I would ask them why they were on each medicine, and they would have no idea.
That's true.
You know, and
in some of the real sick patients, we'd just stop everything except maybe insulin or, you know, things that we couldn't stop, and the patients would get much better very quickly. So
yeah, right.
That was one of the strategies we had when we had somebody who was near death to stop all their medicines and see what happened.
Uh huh.
So that works sometimes. So tell me a little bit more about the type of things that are coming out of the community being involved in designing the healthcare facilities or, you know, participating in that.
Well, what's beautiful is that we have these almost like town hall meetings is what I led in Eugene. I led 9 of them in 6 weeks and collected 100 pages of written testimony. And I can just, you know, tell you some of this is just absolutely beautiful. I mean, I asked people literally to tell me their wildest dreams, and as long as they were legal, I would bring it to fruition. So 100 pages of written testimony, I was able to adopt 90%, and we were open 1 month later. So it's really when you ask people what they want, the big kind of epiphany is that people just want basic care and human relationships.
Mm-hmm.
They don't, like, nobody is writing, they want more high-tech stuff and they want more expensive equipment and all of this. I mean, of course, when you have a problem that requires that, it's nice to have an MRI or something if you need one. But I think overall what people really desire, if they could have their wildest dreams come true, is the whole human connection and integrative medicine, which is often so simple, you know, with just diet and burdock root and, you know, energy healing and all of that. I mean, I'll never forget this one woman who came in, and she came in because she had foot pain. She limped in, and I'd never met her before, but we spent the entire time laughing and joking around like we were best friends, kind of at a little slumber party or something, and her naked foot was just right in my face. I was laughing so hard I almost inhaled the lint from between her toes. You know, and then later on, as soon as she left, I'm sitting there writing her chart note, and I realized that I never examined her foot. And
oh,
I was
goodness.
Just horrified because I had nothing to write or bill for,
right?
And so so I called her up, and I apologized right away, and I offered her a free appointment, and she told me that as soon as she left the room, her pain disappeared.
Right.
Which is kind
of... that's really frequency medicine.
Yeah.
That's healing.
Uh-huh. And I think we don't utilize that as much as we could. And, gee, we would save a lot of money in health care if we just laughed more with our patients and were kind and gentle to them. So let me read you one of the pieces of testimony that I just absolutely love. But this is from a woman named Miriam. And so she wrote that an ideal medical practice would be a sanctuary, a safe place, a place of wisdom, where we learn to live harmlessly, listen with empathy, and observe without judgment, a place where a revolution starts, a new way of seeing where we rediscover our priorities, a place to learn to live, and a place to learn to die. And another gentleman wrote that the doctor is waiting for me when I arrive. And spend 10 minutes to talk uninterrupted about my perception of my health issues and minimum of 30-minute appointments. And, you know, another guy, he raised his hand in the back of the room and asked, he just said, is it possible to find a doctor who's happy?
That's important, isn't it?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that what people are asking for is just super simple. They want small, you know, one-on-one, cozy little offices.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want all the staff running around in circles. They want all the frenzy and the anxiety. They want a relaxed doctor. You know, they want it to be affordable. And it's just, it's really easy to do. So I think when we're receptive to what patients want, they actually have the solutions for what we all should be doing.
And you know, if you're able to bring it out as well in a safe space, like the one woman said, people actually will, in the right circumstances, be able to access their intuition with the doctor or with another healthcare provider. And discover why they're ill. I mean, really why they're ill, not just the physical diagnosis, but the why behind that they became ill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is their heart disease from? Is it because they really have no love in their life, or they're holding a grudge against one of their kids and have, you know, disowned them, that kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
It's really important, especially in cancer, heart disease, and some of these other life-threatening illnesses, because you don't have a lot of time sometimes. You've got to really get to the issue before it kills the patient. when the patients have breakthroughs, they really realize how important forgiveness and how important the other aspects of spiritual medicine are for them to heal themselves. And I think we're going to have to, in the future, really emphasize to people that this self-healing is inherent to who they are, and that perhaps the doctor, or the, another word for doctor is the teacher, can just help them realize what it is that they're doing to block the energy that is coming in. In the esoteric healing book that Master DK gave Alice Bailey, Master DK says that all disease is a result of inhibited soul life. And to me, that means that the energy coming into us from our souls, and you can describe it through many things, but, you know, the chakra system is one way to describe it, or the meridian system. Basically, we put blocks there through our beliefs and through our thoughts and through our words, especially through our words, through our lifestyle choices. And those blockages create the disease. And therefore, since we created them, we should be able to uncreate them. So, but we have to have the awareness of what it was.
So how do you find that other doctors in your area respond to talking about these topics with patients?
You know, I don't really worry too much about other doctors. I have great doctors in my clinic. We have a number of very good surgeons and GYN and chiropractors and family practice doctors here, and they all practice the same way I do. They all have the same abilities to really help the patient understand their spiritual, their spiritual lessons or their spiritual challenge. So, so the people I practice with are totally in alignment with this and enjoy practicing that way. My fellow doctors, the ones who can understand, usually come up to me and ask questions or come to some of we do noetic science every Thursday. We just got done doing it tonight. We do all sorts of educational things for the public, and the doctors come and ask questions if they want to. You know, our doors are open.
Sometimes it seems like the patients are ahead of the physicians on this, you know. The public demand for some of this is beyond what some physicians and maybe, you know, bigger clinics or tertiary care centers feel equipped to deliver.
Well, you know, I think that I really believe that we're on the verge of seeing a major, major shift in the understanding of disease. And it may come through what the patients teach us as physicians. I think as we understand more about what space-time and time-space relationships are, you know, the fabric of space-time and how it works and how things aren't quite as solid as you might think they are. You know, how does Chris Angel walk on water? How do these other magicians levitate? Because they really are levitating. I mean, that's been shown. It's not a magic trick. Many people in our society are pushing the boundaries of our reality, of our perceptual reality, with great and incredible implications for healthcare. And healthcare basically is not very healthy right now. I mean, it's very expensive, it doesn't work real well, and it's one of the major problems that corporate leaders list as, you know, affordable healthcare is often at the top of their list for what they need for their companies. So we're not doing a great job overall of providing affordable healthcare, at least in the U.S. There's a lot of room for improvement there. But I learned some things. I was speaking at the Truth Convention here in Atlanta, and I learned some things there that just blew me away in terms of frequency medicine. You know, the ability to shine certain coherent light on tumors that were embedded with frequencies of healthy cells and have the tumors disappear. I mean, stuff like that. Just amazing. And these are all scientific experiments. You know, all of it is usually not here in the U.S., but a lot of experiments in other countries that have been hidden, have been suppressed. I mean, our doctors aren't taught these things. So I'm really excited for the future of frequency medicine to really help organ regeneration, so we don't have to have, we won't need organ transplantation, which brings with it a whole host of problems. When you suppress the immune system, we can actually regenerate organs, and we can actually put normal signals into diseased tissue and then have it heal itself through the frequency routes. So I'm really excited. I think that a whole new era is coming, a revolution, just similar to when penicillin was developed or vaccines were developed. It's a whole new way of looking at things, and it's going to change medicine.
It's an exciting time to be alive, that's for sure.
It is.
We're going to get to witness quite a bit. And it's great to have the internet, actually, so that we can transmit all this information so freely.
Right. Right, that's true. But I think people are, like I said, the next big movement in regular health care will be people assuming more responsibility for their health, and then also wanting physicians that are more educators and less dictators, having a safe and secure patient-doctor relationship so that you don't, you trust your doctor. Your doctor gives you choices rather than just says, here, take this pill and see me in a month or see me in 3 months. And, every little specialist you go to gives you a different pill, and pretty soon you got a bag with 20 pills in it. And nobody's talking with the other specialist about what the interactions are. So you end up in the ER with the interactions. So that happens quite a bit, actually. I guess we could talk a little bit about the book that's coming out. Do you know the entire title of the Optimism book?
Oh, yes. It's called, let's see, I've got it right here. Optimism, Cultivating the Magic Quality That Can Extend Your Lifespan, Boost Your Energy, and Make You Happy Now.
There you go. I'm going to have to memorize.
Sounds good,
that.
Doesn't it?
It does. Do you have the co-authors?
Yeah, and the co-authors on that. I think that they're going to change them around a bit, but I know Wayne Dyer and Andrew Weil and Steve Jobs or Jobs, I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that right, but they're
I think
some
it's
of
Jobs.
Yeah, Jobs.
Yeah, Warren Buffett, Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, Jimmy Carter.
There's a bunch of people that aren't living too. Eleanor Roosevelt. I guess these people wrote articles about optimism.
Yeah. So it's fun. So what is your chapter about in that book?
My chapter is about energy management. I don't know if you probably have never heard the story with Stephanie and I. Stephanie called me up and wanted me to do a chapter on audacious aging. And I told her, no, Stephanie, I'm not interested in aging. And so I said, but I'll be happy to interview you on the book because we'd love to talk. And so she said, yeah, we do that. Then she called me up and she said, I want you to do a chapter on the goddess shift. And I said, oh, I don't have time. I'm writing this other book. I'm doing this and doing that. I don't have time. She said, well, I'll call you up and interview you, and then I'll write it for you. I said, well, that'll work. And so that's what she did, which was really nice.
She wrote your goddess shift chapter?
Yeah, she interviewed me. Like, I'm interviewing you, and then she wrote it up. My editor made a few changes, but really, Stephanie did a great job, yeah.
Hmm.
And then she called me up about the Optimism book, but I said, well, Stephanie, I'm really wanting to do the Optimism book because I've been studying for years. I've wanted to write something on energy management because I've been paying attention to it, mainly through having a ridiculous schedule and having to really manage energy carefully so I didn't get sick. And not always doing that. Sometimes I would get sick. So I made a bunch of different observations about energy management. And so I incorporated a lot of what I was studying in my own life into this chapter. What is your chapter about?
Well, it kind of takes off on the original theme of putting patients in charge of designing ideal clinics. And since that first chapter was written in Goddess Shift, I had these hospitals, this hospital CEO call me up who runs a part of a 13-hospital healthcare system, and he wanted to basically replicate on a grand scale what I had already done, you know, with a smaller clinic. And mm-hmm. so that's what we're doing up in Wisconsin, having patients design their own hospital.
That's
which
exciting.
Is really fun. Yeah.
Have you ever visited the hospital on the Big Island?
No.
You need to go down and visit it. I was there twice, actually. I think it was in 2006. It was designed, it was the money from Medtronic, the gentleman who owns Medtronic, started the a holistic hospital on the Big Island. And it has its own spiritual healer in charge of spiritual healing, and they have 50 spiritual healers that come in, volunteers from the community that work with the patients. And a huge amount of effort and thought has gone into building this hospital. And I had the opportunity to interview a whole bunch of people, including some of the founders of the physician founders and of course, the head of spiritual healing, and gather what all of their problems were. And then I came up with solutions for them because I had been thinking about this for a while. And you know, basically, a lot of the problems would be solved by having an insurance company that paid for alternative therapies. And then also having doctors that would refer. Like right around here in Millennium Healthcare, we don't have any problem at all. They cross-refer all the time. And my physicians have never had problems referring to each other. But you do have to have physicians that don't hold on to the patient and refuse to refer out. And you can see why that might be a problem in the community. Mm-hmm. They might be afraid that they'll get cured somewhere else and won't be their patient anymore, especially if there's economic fallout of that sort of thing. So anyway, I had a great time discussing all of the current problems they had and providing at least theoretical solutions. And so someday, I've got one of the former CEOs of United Healthcare is very interested in doing that insurance company. So maybe we should all get together and do some.
Mm-hmm.
You never know.
Wow, United Healthcare is going to do that. So that's progressive for them.
No, she's the former CEO.
Oh, the former CEO.
The former CEO.
Okay, that
she
makes sense.
Yeah. Her experience in my clinic with a family member helped her put acupuncture into United Healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, you know, but anyway, there are people who are interested in having a hospital that is truly spirit, not only holistic, but also spiritually based. I think that's the key. I mean, I think understanding the cause of disease. I mean, you can treat the symptoms until the cows come home, but if you don't understand the cause of that disease, it'll either come back or it'll come back in a different form.
Yeah.
Because that blockage is still there. I think people have to understand why disease occurs. And disease can come on very, very quickly. And it can leave just as quickly because of that little thing about that blockage.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my next book's on spiritual medicine, so a lot of these ideas will be expanded in that book.
So how many books do you have out?
Well, I've got the Naked Truth book, which is on breast implants, the chapter in the Goddess Shift, the chapter in the Optimism, which same book, which is coming out. I'm working on the spiritual medicine book, but we're not quite there yet. The spiritual medicine book is going to involve some of these things that I talked about earlier, the relationship of space-time to time-space, the relationship of perceptual reality to what really exists, which is a big gap there. And then frequency medicine and looking at higher causes coming in from the not only the mental and emotional level, but even the etheric level, and what that means in terms of quickly getting rid of disease. If you can work at it at higher levels and get it to filter down. Dr. Amit Goswami calls this downward causation and uses it to explain spontaneous remissions. I've interviewed about at least 30 physicists on what spontaneous remission really is, given that you understand quantum theory and superstring theory. So, you know, you have to kind of understand what really is out there, not just what you have the eyes or the senses to perceive, because, like I said, there's a big disconnect there. And then my final book will be on what I presented at TruthCon, which is a lot of information about diseases that aren't supposed to exist, like Morgellons and sick building syndrome and breast implant disease and chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia and what these actually are and why the powers that be are interested in us not finding out what they are. So that's more of a book that might be the general public might be interested in, especially if they have these diseases.
Wow, so you have time to write all these books and run your practice.
And do this radio show. I've been doing this radio show for 17 years.
Wow.
Once a week.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, that's how I learned all this stuff, is interviewing all these authors. I mean, literally, I talked to... I'm having dinner with Dr. Shulman tomorrow, as a matter of fact. He's one of the presenters.
Yeah, I know him pretty well because we presented at Patch Adams conference together.
Great.
But
yeah.
Doesn't he live in New York?
He lives in Decatur.
Oh, so he lives near you. He lives near
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I hadn't met him, but I'm having dinner tomorrow night with him.
Oh, he's a fun guy. Yeah,
I'd like to
have
him on the radio show.
He'll laugh a lot.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Well, let's give your contact information one more time, Pam, if you would, please.
Okay, it's idealmedicalcare.org.
Okay, and any phone numbers or anything?
No, everything's on there, so it's pretty self-explanatory.
Okay.
It's a real easy website. You can read all about the ideal clinics and hospitals around the country. There's a map of ideal clinics, so there's like 200 of them on there, and so mostly primary care offices around the country. So people, if they're interested in finding somebody who does the more Marcus Welby relationship-driven type of model, they can find that on there or start their own.
There you go.
Yeah, so...
Well, we've been talking with Dr. Pamela Weibel.
It's Weibel.
On, Weibel, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I've got it right here, Weibel. On her information that is in The Goddess Shift and coming up in the Optimism book, as well as her presentation coming up at the One Path Summit. If you want more information about the One Path Summit, which will be on March 26th and 27th in Atlanta, Georgia at the Cobb Galleria, go to onepathsummit.com, and all that information is there, including Suzanne Summer will be lecturing, as well as a large number of educators in healthcare about the paradigm shift that is currently occurring. Next week, we will be featuring Ivan Rados, Transform Your Life Through Sacred Geometry. On the 5th, Dr. Michael Gershon, The Second Brain, A Groundbreaking New Understanding of Nervous Disorders of the Stomach and Intestine. On the 12th, Mattis Sinner, The Way Home, Making Heaven on Earth. And then Dr. Norm Shealy will be back discussing the Telomere Project and Shealy Tens. We've already recorded that. That's a great interview. That'll be airing on the 19th of March. Thank you very much for joining us. Pamela, I appreciate you recording this so late in the day. I'm sure you're a little tired like I am, but it was the only time we could get together, and I appreciate you being with us.
Yeah, well, it's 10 where you are. It's only 7 here. I'm going out for a bike ride.
Yeah, no problem. Huh? And Eva and Frank, we appreciate you coming on as well. And I guess we will be with you next week. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you.